Ches Sivan, Isru Chag Shavuos, Tuesday the 11th of June, Rabbi Zalman Roth. The key to the Aseres Hadibros, Tam Elyon, V'Tam Tachdon. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Silver, Liliv Nishmas, Tzipora Bas Moshe HaKohen, Aleha Shalom.
Good morning. Zimmer to all. This 2 days ago on Shavuos, we lined Aseres Hadibros. And whilst lined Aseres Hadibros, if anybody followed along in a Chumash in Parshas Yisroi, it'd be obvious that the Balkor is reading in a different time and a different trap than as appears in the Chumash. Of course, if you look in the Machzer, it's printed with the Tamim as we read them in the Tzivir, but otherwise you would see that there's a discrepancy. Now you may wonder why I'm talking about this topic after Shavuot, so it's over. No, the Nekida is that we'll still have another opportunity when it comes to Parshas Veschanan. Many have the same meaning that for the Aseres Hadibros in Veschanan, likewise is a Tam Elyon and a Tam Tachton, as we'll discuss in a moment. So I would like to explain what the Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton is, where does it come from, and what is the point of it. But prior to starting with that, we need to complicate things a little bit further. If you see in front of you the paper which is numbered 1, this is what is today mostly the standard Nusach of the Tam Elyon. I took this from the Chumash Hamor, which is very common, but the vast majority of Chumashim that you have in front of you will have these tamim, these trap. And I circled in red the word avudim, because in this version you'll see that the word avudim has a revi on top of the dalad. There's a tam revi on top of it. Can you see that? Okay. I checked at home. I have this chumash. It is not a rare chumash. It is not an old chumash. It's a chumash which is commonly available in this shul and other shuls here too. And there, and for your convenience, I've printed this in page number 2, you'll see that they have put on the same page as the Kri of Yisroi, also the Tama Elyon, circled in red for convenience and clarity. If you check how Avudim is noted there, you'll notice that Avudim has a Soif Pusik, a small line under the Dalit, noting this is the Soif Pusik. So I ask you, in the Tama Elyon, does the Dalit have a Ravi? Or does it have a Soif Pusik? But that is not enough. Because if you go to point number 3, you'll see this is Man Alushain from the Tikkun Koyrim Simunim, which I think most Balei Kriya, the definitive, the Tikkun Koyrim for Balei Kriya, they too bring, and I'll read together with you, Pusik Rishain, Nohagili Kriyosik Krishna Messiah Berevi. That's what we saw in the standard Nusach number 1, the Ilam, the Fiksaviyat Kese Aram Tzoivu, according to the Aleppo Codex, Vakrevim Ilav, and there's ones which are similar to it, Nikru B'Tam Tachtoim, we read it similar to the Tam Tachtoim, which is to say, with the Seif Pusik at the end of the word Avudim, and they printed Onoich Hashem Elokecha Shatzichu Meir Tuzayim Bas Avudim, and the Dalet has again a Seif Pusik. So let us look for a moment at the Aleppo Codex itself. That's number 4. This is my own copy. It's of a cipher called Keser Yerushalayim, which is the most definitive reproduction of the Keser Aram Tzoivu. If we have time, we'll explain why reproduction is necessary and not an actual copy. But here you'll notice, in the first circle, Avudim actually has 2 tamim. Now I want to take you back up to Onoich Hashem Elokechu, and you'll notice that in the Aleppo Codex, every word has 2 tamim. You have 1, 2. Elokechu, 2 tamim. And that is because in all old Chumashim, in Avad and Avad, the codexes which are 1,000 years old, like the Aleppo Codex, Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton were printed together on the word. It was hard to differentiate. You would have in the same word one and the other, and you had to be a big mumcha to know which belongs to the first system and which belongs to the second system. But one thing you'll see clearly, that Avudim has 2 tamim, an Esnachtu and a Soif Pusik. The little horn which is the Esnachtu, and the line which is the Soif Pusik. Now, if the Soif Pusik belongs to the Tam Tachton, and that what we've seen, Ola Chamushim, that there's the end of a Pusik of the word Avudim, where did the Esnachtu come from? So seemingly we seem to have 3 versions of the Tam Elyon. The Revi, as per the standard Nusach, the Sof Pusik, as per this little chumash that I have here, and as according to the Tikkun Kodem, and then finally in Asnachtos, it appears in the Lepa Codex. So what is pshat of it? Why do we have a Tam Elyon, and what are the three versions of the Tam Elyon? Parenthetically, I'll note that this principle that we have in the Pusik itself, two chumushim, exist in all our chumushim to this very day, and I myself haven't noticed it for many years. I'm sure that you, dear listeners, did. If you look at page 5 and 6 in front of you, this is the parsha of Reuven and Bila. We don't understand what went on there, but the pusik says, "Vayalech Reuven vayishkav as Bilu pelegash oviv." If you look at the words "Vahi bishkoin Yisrael," it looks like standard words in any chumash. There's a trap for every word. Vayihi has a tam, Bishkoin has a one tam, Yishol has another tam, Bo'iritzei has another tam, Vayelech has another tam. Reuven has two tam. Look at the vase. There's a kutoin and a revi. Vayishka has two tamim. Esbilu has two tamim. And again, Uviv has two tamim. So till today, in all our chamushim, survives the concept that there's two systems printed side by side. And in fact, if we have time, we'll touch upon it. Masik Pelegush Masa Bilu Vereven has also a tam elin, a tam tachtoin. There's two ways to read it, and perhaps we'll see why. I mention all this because we'll see the Hemshech that the fact that they were printed for so many years side by side is part of the reason why we have so many versions of it, because it was never clear what belonged to what. So in order to understand the Tamen Tam Tachtin, we need to have a small introduction to understand about Tamim in general. So the Makor of Tamim is a Pusik in Nechemi. It says, Vayikri b'saifu teresu elakim, mefoyresh v'soim saichel v'yavini b'mikri. Says the Gemurah in Megillah, Daf Gimel, and same thing in the Durim Daf Zayin, says the Gemurah, soim saichel is the Psikim. So we have a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, where the Psikim stop and where they start. Because the Torah, as it's written in the Sefer Torah, all we have is Psichus Estimus every now and again, but the Psukim are not denoted. And what it says, Vayavini b'mikru, this is Piskai Tam. Now the Tam Amikru serve three purposes: cantillation, pronunciation, and punctuation. Cantillation is the part we hear the most, the musical notation of the words. This musical notation is perhaps the least important, and I'll prove it to you by the fact that there are so many versions of the cantillation. The Sephardim have several versions, known amongst them today mostly is the Moroccan and the Tam Yerushalmi. Ashkenazim, we have the standard Nusach among Hasidim and most Yeshivalai today, and then the Yekesh Nusach and the Bardich of the Trop, which is more common among the Rishon Hasidim. There are so many versions of it. Because in essence, it is not important the song, it is just the consistency among the song itself. Sometimes you can hear among the song itself in the Hesber of the word, Vaismama has a Shalshelis. And as you repeat again, Vaismama, you hear the Ismama, but not always. The Tosafot of the Rebbe Zatzal will occasionally and temporarily move away from the Tam HaMikru and read it as per the storyline. So it's when Moshe tells B'nai God, Ha'achaychem yaitzel amachum uva'atem ta'ish v'poi, he would read it as the shocking question that Moshe asks. Ha'achaychem yaitzel amachum uva'atem ta'ish v'poi. But the Tam doesn't reflect that. So the cantillation is not a pshat. It is a song which comes along, it has a reason for it. Secondly, there's a pronunciation, which is, as you see, whenever there's a Tam in the Pusik, we know, for instance, in front of me here, Vatomas Rochel, so from the fact that the Tam is in the Tof, we know we say Vatomas and not Vatomos. And the fact that it says on the Ches, we know we say Rochel and not Rochel. So it helps us pronunciate by putting the emphasis on the right syllable. But most importantly is the punctuation. Because English punctuation, and even the Kurdish, modern Kurdish today, has a few signs. We have a full stop, we have a comma, a colon, a semicolon. But all that comes nothing to the richness of language. When a person talks to another person, you're able to say so much more in the words than just the full stop and the comma can give along. And the Torah provided us a system of punctuation which is extremely rich. 20 odd different simunim of what a word can mean, how strong the stress is, and how strong the separation is. And a lot of it was lost to us, but we know that it serves as punctuation. Broadly, it's divided into two parts. It is divided into mafsikim and misharsim. Some tamim are meant to denote a break, so pause and continue, a small break, and others are misharsim, which lead into another. Among the Mafsikim, there are four levels. They're called Kaiser, Melech, Mishneh, and Shulish. Three Dagas. What's important for us to know, for the purpose of the discussion here, that the biggest Mafsik, the biggest break, is the Seif Pusik, obviously. Because the Seif Pusik denotes a new Pusik, old Pusik finished, new Pusik starts. And close to it is the Esnachta. And almost every single Pusik in the Torah has an Esnachta. So again, just in front of me, I'm looking now at the Pusik of Vayishlach. Vayibitha Esnafsha ki maisa vatikashmo ben oini. Esnachtu. Pause. Big break. Vavkur leben yumin, Seif Pusik. So the Esnachtu breaks the domain of the Pusik and divides it into two. And almost every Pusik in the Torah has an Esnachtu to break into two parts. And then, as you go further down, each portion is then divided into small, small further breaks, denoting small differences to say why here there has to be a pause. This is all in the 21 Sfurim of Tanakh, excluding Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim. Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim, things are a little bit different. If you look at examples 7 and 8 in front of you, this I took from the Tehillim right here in Shul, in number 7, and I no details because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but in Tehillim, what is different is that unlike in the Torah, with the Esnachtu, it comes after the Seif Pusik to denote a break, in Tehillim, it's a top which is called Oyle V'yoyled, not the Esnachtu. Look here, if you want, at page number 7, in the Pusik, Hai, Hashem Tzadik Yevchon, V'lushiv Oyev Chumas Sonu Nafshei. You'll know that there's a comma after the word Oyev Chumas. And I could never understand...
Page 7.
7 and 8, yeah, both. And I could not understand why would there be a comma after... As it says now, it's much more like this. Hashem is Boichad the Tzadikim and the Shum and who love Chumas and something, I don't know what, Son and Afshay. How does this mistake happen? Surely the comma has to come between the words Verasha and Oyev. It should have said, Hashem, Tzadik Yivchon, comma, Verushev Oyev Chumas, Son and Afshay. But if you look at 8, where it has the Tamim, the Trap, you'll see where the mistake came from. There's, under the word Chumas, there's an Esnachta. And if you do not know that in Tehillim, the Oylev Yoyed, which is in the word Yivchon, is a bigger break, you would think that the comma has to come after the word Chumas, even if the pshat is nonsensical. So we know that in the Torah, the Esnacht was the biggest break, and the Seif Pusik slightly above that. Now, obviously, the punctuation also has a ashpur on the pronunciation, because everybody has seen that the word Mitzrayim always appears as Mitzrayim. Chutzef has an asnachto, so Pusik it becomes Mitzrayim. Shemayim is Shemayim, but if it comes in the end of, by the break of asnachto, so Pusik becomes Shemayim, and so on. And that is why, for instance, in the Aseret HaDibros we'll see b'Hemshech, that it says Lo Sirtzach in the Tama Tachtin, but Lo Sirtzach in the Tama Eliyah, because if you put a break on the Sirtzach, and then the Pasach becomes a Kometz. So now we come to the Tam and Tam Tachtoin. Tam Tachtoin, this is based according to the Kabbalah of the Psukim that we have Moshe Mesinai, how the Psukim are divided. But, in the Tam Tachtoin, there's no reference to the Aseret HaDibros. So you have the second Dibros divided among four Psukim. And whilst the last few, the Sirtzach and Sinuf, are all in one Pusik. And that's where the Tam Elyon comes in. The Tam Elyon rewrites the Pesukim and breaks it up in such a way that the short Pesukim are divided into small parts to show each Dibra on its own, whilst the longer Pesukim, which break one Dibra into two, are combined into one long Pusik to show each Dibra on its own. So if you go back to page 1, you'll see, Unochi Hashem Elokechu goes on for a very long time until B'l'Shem HaMitzvah Yisai. That's your first Seif Pusik. Then L'Siz Hashem Elokechu, one line until Lashav, because that's one Dibra. Zuch Hashem Lashav is a Katsho, you're not going to find a single Seif Pusik until the word Vayikah L'Shai. Kabbal Uvichu V'Semechu is simple. L'Ir Titzach gets a Seif Pusik immediately by Titzach. L'Ir Tinov gets another Seif Pusik. L'Ir Tinov another Seif Pusik. And you get the pattern, where it's divided like the Dibris, not according to the Psukim. And that's what the Tam Elyon does. It divides it by the Dibris. So far, so good. Why is it called Elyon? So Reb Zalman Henna says that being that the Eibishter is the one who gave us the Pesukim Min HaShemayim in the form of Dibris, so that's the Elyon, that's how the Eibishter, quite literally, Elyon as in the Eibishter, that's how he spoke it. And we, the Tachtonim, this is how we line it. Another has been from Rav Heidenheim and Rav Yaakov Emden is that considering that these Pesukim become very long Pesukim, because you have a Sefer Pesukim at the very end of it, you amalgamate so many Pesukim together, you have to fill it up with Tamim. So look, there are so many weird Tamim which come in these Pesukim which you don't have the whole Torah, because you have to fill the empty space. And it tends to be that those weird Tamim are written above the word, not the bottom of the word. So it's referred to as Tam Elyon, as the upper Tam. Now, the only kasha is, why do we have two? If temporarily. If we have, if the Tam Elyon does such a good job dividing the Dibris into the Dibris, why do we have two systems? Why is nothing else in the Torah, aside from Bilu and Rivu, which we'll touch upon later, why do we have to? So this is a big machlokes. The Tirmus Adation, it's brought in by Stam Adelik Yersha, says that Alibad Emes, the main Tam is the Tam Elyon. That's the standard Tam. But being that Unkelus divided the Pesukim according to the Tam Tachtoin, and every Yuchid has a Chitim Imam, a Seder Shnayim Bikuvecha Targim, so that they had to develop a Tam Tachtoin to provide a break where you could follow along with Unkelus. So says he. But the Emes, in any other time with your line, Veschanon, Pashas Yisrael, Laad Af Kishvis, whenever it's Betzibri, when there's no Unkelus, you line according to the Tam Elyon. Ram Kavendis says, no. We know we have old machlokes between Bnai Bubna, Bnai Yisrael, Bnai Yisrael, Torah. They each have their own Masorah. Bnai Yisrael used to be Messiah of the Torah once in 3 years. And in fact, the Chalik of the Parsha that we know, the Gan Parshis, the 53 Parshis, is completely an invention from the Bnai Buvel. The Bnai Yisrael had a different Chalukah. We see it in the Rambam mentioned many times that the Zachatin to the Yishuvit Kisisu and Parshis Shkulim, and the Rambam says, do you take another Sefer Torah, or do you go back to the beginning of the same Parsha? That's impossible to us to do such a thing. And this is all part of the very same machlokes, which means Bnai Buvel always had the Tam Elyon, and Bnai Yisrael always had the Tam Tachton. The Makvin has gevaldige raya, because if you look at the end of Parshas Yisrael, it says I am Bais Psikim, and you can go home and contact yourself, and you see this Hashtimlisht. Vidi, if you look at the end of Parshas of Sefer Shemos, there the minin Psikim for the whole Parshas stimmed to Yah with the Psikim of Yisrael. So what's going on here? So the Makvin. Being that the parshas were done by Bnai Buvel, the parshas were meaningless. The parshas Yisrael has no mashmuz to Bnei Yisrael, and they did Tama Elyon. Let's go back to Yisrael and count according to the Tama Elyon in the stack of 72, because the Tama Elyon compresses the pesukim into 10. Shtim Shayah. Vidi the Sfurim, which is the minhag of Sfurim, has a shaykes to Bnei Yisrael. That's written according to the Tam Tachta and Shtim. And the Rai, which he does not bring, but now we know, is that the Bnei Taiman, who followed the Bnei Buvel all along, they had no shaykhis, we have a shtickle combination, they indeed always line Tam Elyon, v'yuchud, v'rabim, they never heard of the Tam Tachton at all. So it's a riot to the words of Rabbi Akiva Emden, that it goes back to this very old machlokes. And I will say that l'chori with this, you can be miyash l'kashe, Yibashubir Sadevetchik from Boston brings that Reb Chaim, his grandfather, never wanted to line the Tam Elyon. Even though, as I understand, the minig was so even his own family, because there's a klal from Chazal, psika de lepeska Moshe, pusuk Moshe didn't divide another peskinin. We cannot change the minig of psikim. And he felt that being as bekabula we have the psikim, as it says in the Torah, of the says the verses 14 psukim, with the best reasons in the world, you cannot combine and make them into other psukim. But according to Yankim Emden, that it goes back to the old machlokes of Bnei Tzul and Bnei Buvel, it simply follows the previous Masorah. It's part of the old machlokes of what Take is the Psikim that Moshe was Machalek. So we still have to understand now, why do we have three Tropim in the Tam Elyon? Either a review on Avudim, or a Sef Pusik, or a Snachta. Where does it come from? So let's look back at page number one. And I kept saying the whole time it's divided by the Dibris. But let's count together. Unech Hashem Elokechu is one long pusik until mitzvosai. That's one. Lo Sisu carries all the way to Lashav. That's another one. Zilcha Sefer Shabbos the Katshay, Karish Deva Katshay, it's a third Pusik. Kavu the Zilcha Vesemechel goes to Noisan Loch, that's a fourth Pusik. Latirzach is a fifth, Latinaf is a sixth, Latignav is a seventh, Lestan Rebecha Yitzchukar is an eighth, Lesachem with Bais Shayechu, look, it's an Asnachtu, finishes Asher Reyechu, that's nine. So where's the tenth Pusik?
Four,
five,
so
but that's all part of the same dibri. Lesachmoid is not two lesachmoids. When one looks at it, it looks very confusing because there is indeed, very surprisingly, and we'll talk about it in a moment, there is a space in the third in lesachmoid, but it's not a soif pusik, it's still one dibri. Agos a kasha. First pshat. But the Gemara tells us that the two first dibris were given by the Eibishter himself, and the rest we got from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Talmud of the Revi sacrifices the wish to have 10 psukim to emphasize the more important point that there's a special bond going on between Nechash HaMelekechu and Lo Yilechu Elokim Achayim. And how does it achieve that? By putting a Revi on the Avudim, which is a break, but not a big break like a Seif Pusik, thus amalgamating these two Diburim together and making them into one, producing Takanai. We said earlier that the Cheshman has to have 10. So this is Takanai Ches, like you said. But many Paskim say that Lesachmoid has to be counted as two, not because there's inherently anything different with Lesachmoid that there should be two, we'll see in a minute, but rather because the Torah makes a hefsek in the written Sefer Torah, therefore we can count it as two. But the Revi is Medavke here, even though the Tam Tachton, the Isra Sefer Pusik, really we should have kept like a Tam Tachton, because the whole purpose is to show the difference on their own, but they put the Revi in to enable to combine together. That's.
How could it be two?
It's not two. But in order to count the psukim, to shtim with the Masorah that we have ayin bayis psukim, we can count it bedurchak as a second one. It's not a second pusik, but in terms of units, it can be counted. It's a big durchak. I'm with you on this one. And this is Taka the Kasha on the Revi. So that's why Rebov Heidenheim brings that many of the previous psukim, I mean, we're talking about going back hundreds of years when these things were put into stone, went as the other Messiah, which we saw in the Tikkun Kari of Semunim and the Chemish Jayav here, that actually Avudim should have a Soy Pusik. And then you have Onechitel Avudim is one Pusik, its own Dibre, the first Dibre. You start a new one, Balayilachu Lekim Achayim, we have exactly 10. And that would seem to be much better. The Shvei Katmadein is that Lemaise, the Revi, is a much more ancient version of the Time Elyon. So where did the Revi come in? So Wolf Heidenheim at Mechadish, that actually there are three systems of Tamil. Tam Tachton, which is as the Torah. Tam Elyon, which divides each one into its own Dibre. But then there's another one which has the Revi, not to be read, it's more like a ksiv opposed to a kri, to point out the remez that it's all combined into one Dibre. Adarchak, Babalazbirah. So where did the snachto come in that I showed you in the Aleph Codex in Kesar Ram Tzaydu? This is Shunagos HaChiddush. If you look at the Aleph Codex, and the things which once upon a time didn't exist, so we have now a copy of the Leningrad Codex, which the Koren Tanakh follows that Messiah. And we have the Damascus Codex, where the Sassoon family discovered, and the British Museum Codex, the four most important Kesayudis of the whole Tanakh, all written about 1,000 years ago, more or less complete versions, and they all show the same thing. That as said, once upon a time, these Torah were written together. So you had the Elyon Tachton combined together. If you take the Elyon Tachton and start dividing it consistently, which is to say that you realize there's a pattern that first comes the Tachton, then the Elyon, you realize actually that in the Tam Tachton, there was no Seif Pusi, there was an Esnachtu, and only in the Tam Elyon, there was a Seif Pusi. Listen why. Because for the Tam Elyon, you want a Seif Pusi to show the Pusi on its own. The Tam Tachton doesn't care about that. So the Tam Tachton can afford to have an Esnachtu. Let's look together in the Aleph Codex. Page number 4. The Tam Tachton had under Avudim an Esnachtu, which is a minor break, and it had the Seif Pusik on the word Punai. Look in the second circle, Punai. So you read the Pusik from Anochin until Punai with the Esnachtu and Avudim. The Tam Elyon is the one that has the Seif Pusik and Avudim to break it and to show the difference separately. So you may ask, why would the Tam Tachton have a Seif Pusik and Punai? Actually, we could say a Chiddush, I don't have a riot to it, but maybe we could say the following. So Machlokes Rambam and Ramban, how many lavim you have in the second Dibri? Is separate to the Sas Lechu Pesel, or is it the same? Rambam says, all separate. The Ramban says, it's all one. Says the Ramban and the Rambam, how can you say these are separate lavim? So why is the Gemara saying, Begillah, we only heard two Yisirim from the Ayyavish Tanukh, we heard many things. We heard the Sas Lechu Pesel, Bechol Teminu, it's a one and so forth, the Shtak Malahem, the Lesa Avdain. The Hechichem must be one big lav. Says the Megillas Esther, the Rambam will have to say, Agos HaChidish, that we heard from the Ayyavish Tanukh until the word Punai. The rest, even though it's part of the second day, but that was very Moshe Rabbani. So the attack is separate Yisirim, but from the Ayyavish Tanukh until Punai. And I would like to say that according to the Lepo Codex Nusach, that is denoted by the fact that at the time Tachton, it breaks the pusuk by the word Punai to show that this is from the Ayyavishter, and the rest is from Moshe Rabbeinu. Whilst in the time Elion, it's all about the Dibris, the break goes by Avudim, which is the first Dibri, then the whole of the second one separately, and it continues further. So now let's touch upon briefly, first, we'll finish with one akidah that we said earlier. Lersirtzach and lersirtzach depends on tam elin tam tachton. Should you say there's a sef pusik, it becomes from sirtzach to sirtzach. Should you say that it is no sef pusik, it stays lersirtzach. So the Vilna Gaon explains what is the explanation of that difference. But the Gemara says ki rabim chalulim mipilu v'atzimim kol harigeu goes at tamal chochem. The first part of the pusik goes at tamal chochem shelo higia lo hiruah, and nevertheless paskens. The second, wait, that's gefelich, it's like killing someone, because you can come to such machshelis. The second part is likewise. A Talmud Chacham who can paskin, but doesn't want to paskin. So the Vilna Gaon, the kumitz, is closing your mouth. Both the word means so, and this is how you pronounce it. Ooh, oh. A pasach, you open your mouth, and it means opening. There's a leshetzach from opening the mouth, and a leshetzach from closing the mouth. Sometimes when a person shouldn't be speaking and he speaks, that's one oifen for retziche, and fakert as well. So that's the hesber in the leshetzach. So now we finish off with Masa Bilu. Why is it red? Why is there Masa Riven and Bilu etam elin tam tachten? So the Gemara says that Masa Riven nikru v'loim etargam. You can line it in the Torah, but we don't, in the Targum, as once upon a time was the meaning that you stop and say Targum, you don't say Targum. So there's a very beautiful answer from the Reich Kudish Y. And if you look at pages six, is 5 and 6, you can follow along the head from the Reich Kudish. He says like this. Really, the way the Pusik should be read is as follows. Yaakov came to that land, and Yaakov Avini says that Yaakudish had, as Chazal tell us, moved his bed into the oil of Bilu after Ruchel passed away. And the Eibishter had promised him, Goikal, Goim Yatzim Amechu, he's supposed to have two more children. And that night he was supposed to be Mamshech, these two children. Vayalech Ivri, he even went and did something. What did he do? Bilbo Yitzia Oviv. He took out the bed and messed around with Yaakov's sleeping arrangements. Vayishkav as Bilu Pelegesh, who slept with Bilu? Uviv, his father did. Oba Vayishma Yisrael, what happened is going around, and because of that, Vahi b'nai Yaakov Shnayim Usa, only 12 and not 14. The Pusik is telling us that Yaakov only had 12 children, despite the fact of spending that night with Bilu, because Reuben was mevavel and messed up his arrangements. And says the Rekudish, that is why Yosef got the two Shvutim Ephraim and Asher, because even as original Bukhar shouldn't get a reward for taking away the fact that Yaakov didn't have these children directly. So said the Yaakovish. Masha Ankan says that if you look in the Targum, it says, Ishchiv im Bilu lechanisai de'aviu. You can't anyone say this Pshat. It says, of his father. And that's why it says that we read the Pusik, we're not the Targum. So following this Pshat, I'd like to say that if you look, you'll see in page 6 that in one version, there's a snachtu on Uviv. So it breaks by the word Uviv. And the second one is the snachtu on Yisrael. It breaks by Yisrael. Berabim, we don't read the snachtu on Uviv. We read it on Yisrael. Which is to say, that it's all part of the story. It's not as if Vayishkav is Uviv. That's one story. Oh, and by the way, Yaakov heard about it. No, the snachtu carries all the way to the end. Yaakov and he heard, and therefore he only had 12 children. And that is why it's necessary to have these two systems in place. We have a Tam Elyon to line with Sibir to bring out this Akidah that we have, that there is an additional way of reading which brings out the Tzidkas of Reuven and not as per the Pushat Pshat. Thank you very much.